your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Welcome, everyone. I'm Sonny Avery of Yelp Hawkins All Access Forever as we start very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Saturday services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Avery, will feature priest Adaya Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you sons and daughters usually able to now train the sanctuary. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the first speaker, preacher priest, Michonne Hawkins.
So back to my morning, maybe she'd made the picture, Bill Fitch and every one of you. The title of my speech is Being Thankful to Yahweh. In Positive Law number 19 says, Be thankful to Yahweh. In prayer, praise, and deed, Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. Please turn to Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. Hold on page 154. When you have eaten and are satisfied, he bless your Yahweh, your Father, for the rich land he has given you. We have so much to be thankful for. We eat clean food. We drink clean water. We also have a great teacher to teach us the right way to go. We also have Yahweh as our Heavenly Father. Always be thankful. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'd like to turn on to the next speaker.
The great son of Yitzhak Abel, Deacon Buffalo Bill Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. So today I'm going to be talking about the Yahweh having no God, no one beside Yahweh, and that we need to stop worrying about the world, and we need to set our minds straight on Yahweh, especially at this time of year, because the worldly holidays are coming up. So first we'll turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 43, on page 557, Isaiah 43 and verse 9. Let all nations be gathered together, and let all peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, so they may be justified, or let them hear and acknowledge this is the truth. You are my witnesses, says Yahweh, my servants who I have chosen, so you may know and believe and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God, and nor will there be after me. I have declared and I have saved and I have shown, and no strange God is among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says Yahweh, that I am Yahweh. So he has nothing. Yahweh shows here that he has nothing to do with the gods, that beside him there is no Savior. And if you'll turn over a page to Isaiah 45, and verse 5, it says, I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me. There is no God Elohim. I will strengthen you with this knowledge, though you do not recognize it was me. So they may know from the rising of the sun to the setting of its place, to the place of its setting, that there is none beside me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. I form light, I create darkness, make peace, and create destruction. I, Yahweh, do all these things. So, Yahweh here is alone in his work. He has no gods. And he tells his people to stay away from the gods and not to follow after them. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 17 on page 174, Deuteronomy 32 verse 17, it said, "They sacrifice the demons to gods, Elohim, which are not of Yahweh, to gods they did not know. To gods newly come up, to gods Elohim, Teraphim, your fathers did not worship." The people who went aside from Yahweh, they went after the gods, and they did exactly opposite of what Yahweh had told them to do. Now Yahweh, through Deacon Stephen, corrected those people in Acts 7 and verse 37. "That is Moshe who said to the children of Israel, 'Yahweh your father will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Him you will hear. This is he who called out, who is among the called out ones in the wilderness with the Amalek, who spoke to him on Mount Sinai with their fathers, who received the doctrine of life and to give it to us, whom our fathers would not obey, but they rejected him. So in their hearts they turned back to Egypt." They turned back to the Coptic Catholics, saying to Aaron, "Make us gods, Elohim, to go before us. As for this Moshe who has brought us up out of Egypt, we do not know what it has become of him." And they made an image of a calf in those days and offered sacrifice to gods, and they rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then Yahweh turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, just as it is written in the book of the prophets, "Was it to me you brought sacrifices and offerings to in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? No, but you have lifted up the idolatrous temple of Molech, your god, and Kayun, your star god, and Saturn, the star of your god, El, which you have made for yourselves, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon." Now, if you'll turn to Psalms, Book of Psalms, Psalms 81 and verse 9 on page 466. "There shall be no strange god, El, among you, nor shall you worship any hinder god." So this is what Yahweh is telling the people through the king here, that you shall not worship any of these gods. Now, we're going to go next to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10, 6 through 8. There is none like you, O Yahweh. You are great, and your name is mighty in power. Who should not reverence you, O King of the nations? Yes, that is your due. Among all the wise men of the nations and all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether senseless, as they are consumed by their foolishness. Their stock is a doctrine of vanities, preaching about worthless gods, Elohim, made of wood. Now at this time, the world is preparing to do the opposite of everything we just read, in staying away from the gods and not worshiping them. We have to keep our minds away from this and follow after Yahweh 100%. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, condemns what they did. In Jeremiah 7, chapter 7, and verse 30. For the children of Israel have done evil in my sight, says Yahweh. They have set their abominations, detestable gods, in the house which is called with my name to pollute it. And if you'll go over a page in Jeremiah 5:30, it says, an appalling and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets falsely prophesy by the lie, Baal, Lord God, El. The priests bear rule by their own authority, and my people just love it. But what will you do in the end? And side note, G7 says, meaning that there could be nothing but disorder where ministers and prophets were wicked people. So Yahweh is saying here that these people are following after gods, that they should not be following after these things. Now we've got to keep our minds off of this, off of the God worship, and learn to rejoice here in the house of Yahweh, and learn to rejoice in Yahweh's feasts and Sabbaths instead of the mark of the beast and rejoicing in the holidays. So with that, I'll turn the services over to the great Kahan, Benjamin Krause.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Well, it's cold outside, but it's warm in here. I was hearing yesterday on the radio about some jaw-dropping information, and I was thinking this morning, I don't know how many jaws can drop when it's frozen outside, but hopefully we'll warm that right up, get rid of that lockjaw. Let's see. I'm going to continue on where we left off last time, this King of the North that Pastor mentioned, but The title of my speech is it's going to be An Evil Tree. Turn over to Matthias 7:17. Matthias 7:17 in your book of Yahweh. If I didn't say it, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. On page 733, it says, likewise, every tree brings forth righteous fruit, but a tree of evil brings forth fruit of iniquity. And remember, a righteous tree cannot bring forth fruit of iniquity. That's the house of Yahweh. It cannot bring forth these gods, okay? The gods will be abolished from the house of Yahweh. Now, that word evil that's written there in 717... it's this word here, 4550 in the Greek. As you can see, it's used here in Matthias 7:17. Notice it means corrupt. Corrupt. It means bad, worthless, rotten, literally or morally. Okay? It's worthless, putrefied, and some other words, rotten, etc. Can I have my first slide? An evil tree, if you'll notice, the gematria. And by the way, it's very amazing this morning that the future priest Moshonia got up here and he told us all to be thankful. And he quoted Deuteronomy 10:8. 10:8. And I thought, you know, the inspiration that came from that right there. Because we should all be very thankful for the information that you're going to receive today from Yahweh that we've been receiving. But be very thankful for this, because that number 18 plays into everything today. Because 18 is nothing but three sixes or 666. I'm going to read you an excerpt right now from the fifth book of Israel. And it's chapter 15, verse 46. Pastor says, the people are prone to go to play. The playing is what gets us in trouble. Everything in the house of Yahweh is work, the studying, the research, and the pains we go through. We strain our eyes until they won't let us strain anymore, trying to get to the bottom of it and find out what Yahweh really said. And Exodus 32:6 says, the next day the people rose early and offered burnt offerings and bought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Then Yahweh said to Moshe, Gil, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have become corrupt. Can I have my next slide? You see that word? Corrupt is 666. Pastor said this was spoken of in 1 Corinthians. Now, he says, I want you to be thinking about this before you read this scripture. When you turn a television set on in front of your child, you're teaching him whatever comes on that television set, both what he's aware of and what his subconscious mind picks up in the form of subliminal messages. Whatever it is, that's what's going into his brain and influencing him to be something. Surely you don't want him to be evil. When he sees this, he is taught. He's influenced. Pastor says, I'm convinced that if you want to make it into the kingdom and you want your children to be holy like Samuel, you need to raise them like Samuel. These things were not put in front of Samuel to alter his mind, to get his mind thinking in a certain way. If you want your child to war and fight, get him a pair of boxing gloves and you'll teach him to fight. Can you give me my next slide? War and fight. You see that? Is that what you want? These are the inspired words of Israel Hawkins from the 15th book, 5th book of Israel. Now, I don't want to miss anything. Can you go to my next slide? No, actually, don't go to the next slide. On December 6th, 12:6, and I want you to think of 12:6 as 18 because 12:6, 12 and 6 is 18, 666. President Donald Trump announced that Jerusalem move. Well, it just so occurs, and we talked about that last time I spoke. Go back and listen to it. It just so occurs on that day that NASA put up a picture, if you can show the slide. Remember the NASA astronomy picture of the day? Notice the numbers. HH666. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, NASA, I know we don't work with NASA. I've told you this before. We don't have any connections with NASA. Okay? We don't call NASA and tell them to put certain pictures up on certain days. But this day was very interesting because I'm going to show you the inspiration of Yahweh here. HH, by the way, the letter H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. So what you're looking at is 88. And if you remember, me and Pastor were harping on this 88 and 666 before this picture came up. Okay, and you remember the work on that 88. About the necromancers, okay? By the way, the neo-Nazis use 8-8 as a hidden symbol for Heil Hitler, because H is the eighth letter, and when they say Heil Hitler, they're saying HH. Can you go to the next slide? Next slide, please. By the way, that's called the Carina Nebula. HH666, and we're going to talk more about that at another time. Right now I'm laying a foundation. I want you to notice, this is from the Sea of Glass, the last book of Israel, the 16th book of Israel. And I want you to notice it's from the Feast of Pentecost, 6-12-16, a palindrome. Remember, 6-12 is nothing but 666. 6 and 12 is 18, and actually if you add up the whole date, 6-12-2016, you'll get the number 18, which is 666. It's on, now notice, the typesetter must have been totally inspired unless they had nothing better to do, because this sermon starts on page 216. And if you remember, 216, we harped on that in this very chapter about what 216 meant. But I want you to notice first, on the very first page, Pastor mentions the number 18. He was talking about the crown, that was the 9 points on the crown, and he said that makes 8 plus 1. And we talked about 18 and how that date added up to 18 and 666. If you'll look in the book, actually I'm going to show you right here. I brought it with me. I like to prove all things. But if you'll notice, the second page right here, we talked about the Temple of Baal equals 666, and 2016 is 666. 6 times 6 times 6 is 216. Now I want you to go to the next slide, because there should be some math there for you. 6 times 6 times 6 is 216. And then you go to the next slide, you'll see for 2016, and remember, 216 is just 612 backwards. 2016 is 666 times 3 plus 6 plus 6 plus 6. So 2016 had 666 written all over it, didn't it? Now, I wonder why. I wonder what Yahweh was trying to show us here. Well, a certain person was elected in 2016. That's as far as I'll go right now. By the way, that certain person, if you remember in 2015, I brought out what this means. And that certain person can't stop doing this. Whenever he speaks. That's called a sign, a signature. Now, go to my next slide, please. From this sermon on June 12, 2016, to December 6, 2017, was 542 days. Turn over to page number 542 in your Book of Yahweh. The inspired Book of Yahweh. You can't get this in the King James. I don't even think it has 542 pages. Let's look at Isaiah 20, verse 4. It talks about here on page 542, so will the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians as prisoners. That's all I'm going to read, because this prophecy was written in 714 BY. Well, guess what occurred in 666 BC, or BY? This prophecy was fulfilled when Thebes, Egypt, the capital at that time, was sacked by the Assyrians in 666. Wow, what a coincidence. Go to the next slide, please. The Sea of Glass. 542 in Strong's means to see fully, to see. Remember what Pastor said about that sea of glass, how it should really say see? You know how Yahweh can see ahead? He can see in the future? He can see these things clearly, way ahead of time. Can you see the marvelous mind of Yahweh, how he puts this together? Could we do this ourselves, House of Yahweh? Come on, you'd be giving us too much credit there. There'd have to be a whole lot of conniving going on here for all these things to be falling into place like this. Go to the next slide, please. Now, I'm going to set you up for this because a diligent studier in the House of Yahweh called me texted me the other morning and said, why don't you look at this sermon right here? Look at this sermon right here, because I noticed the numbers in it kind of match what you talked about on 6-12-16 about 666. And it's in chapter 18, the planned genealogies of kingdom number 1. This is in the 14th book of Israel. Now, at 4 o'clock this morning, it dawned on me, because me and Pastor talk about this stuff every day, and it dawned on me at 4 o'clock this morning, I knew it was chapter 18, so that's 666, right? But the date is 6, 15, 5 and 1 is 6, and 96 is 15, and 5 and 1 is 6. So 666 is written all over this. Okay, now, this is interesting. Let's go to the next slide. In this plan, genealogies of the kingdom, Pastor talked about rebellion and stubbornness. and how we must get it out of us, out of our genetics. We must get this rebellion within us out of our lives. Because what we're seeing now in this world is sin fully matured. This rebellion that's been bred in mankind, it's now fully maturing. Go to the next slide, please. From this date, this sermon was given to June 12, 2016, of the 666, was 7302 days. Can you go to the next slide? 7302 means to be sated. It's from 7301. It means to satiate, to fill. Can you turn to page 612 in your book of Yahweh? These things have all been brought before. If you go back and listen to the sermons from 2015 and 2016, every bit of this has been brought before. Because Yahweh's inspiring his house. Page 612, Isaiah 46, verse 10. For this is the day of Father Yahweh of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may, that means judgment, that he may judge his adversaries. The sword will devour and will be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For Father Yahweh of hosts has a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Remember this word, 7302, means sated with drink, drunkenness, to fill, to satiate. And notice it's on page 612. That was the date of the sermon, right? What an amazing thing. Turn to the next slide, please. Okay, so Jeremiah 46:10 talk on 6:12. Now notice the destruction of Nineveh. Okay, notice what year that took place? 6:12. 6:12 BY. The city of Nineveh, the ancient capital of the Assyrian Empire. Remember, Yonah went there and preached against it, but it, you know, they repented at that time. But then in 612 BY, the destruction came. What a coincidence, right? 666, 612. Please go to the next slide. Remember, we're still talking about the 615-96 sermon. Can you go to the next slide? So from June 15, 96 to December 6, 2017 now, we're spanning this date, That's when this announcement was made about Jerusalem, and that 666 picture came up from NASA. It was 7844 days. Can I have my next slide? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. How does Yahweh do this? It means corrupt. And corrupt is what? Can I have my next slide? You know, Yahweh is so magnificent, you know? Now, in this sermon that I'm quoting, this 18th chapter of the 14th book, part 2, or part 1, Pastor talks all about this earthly image in 1 Corinthians 15 that man is wearing at this time. This earthly image. We're bearing the image of the earthly. Okay, that's in 1 Corinthians. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15 on page 899, because this is what he's quoting from in this, throughout this sermon on page 899. Can you go to my next slide, please? Earthly image. Put that number down. Earthly image, 666. It's not an accident. Oh, by the way, when you think of earthy or earthly, remember the Pope? What's his name? Can you go to my next slide? Next slide, image of Jorge. Well, if that ain't enough for you, can go to my next slide. Pope Francis I, Jorge Mario Bergoglio of Buenos Aires, Argentina, 666. Wow, what a coincidence, huh? Now remember, these are men. This is the culmination of this headstrong arrogance, stubbornness, pride, rebellion that's been bred. Remember, this is a sermon about the genealogies. House of Yahweh, we've got to get this stubbornness out of us. Can you go to the next slide? Let's back up. I'm just going to tell you, page 899 is where this is written. And 899, by the way, oh, we're getting to it. Go ahead. Next slide. Headstrong, arrogant, you know, stubborn, 666. Next slide. Unruly, 666. Next slide. Lustful, 666. This isn't an accident, right? Next one. Hardened heart, 666. Next one. All of humanity has this. All of humanity. Look up the word human and you'll know what I'm talking about. Next slide. Pastor's quoting here 1 Corinthians 15:39 to 50 on page 899. Notice it means a covering, clothing. What the world is clothed in at this time, rebellion, the garment of rebellion. And it also means treacherous, unfaithful, transgression, treacherously. Next slide. Actually, it's notice here, treacheries. Coincidence, House of Yahweh? The whole world, next slide, is under the bondage of sin. 666. Are you rejoicing at what Yahweh is showing his house? Could you get this anywhere else? Yeah, sure. You could go to the Catholic Church. They don't even know what prophecy is. There's a lot more coming on this. Get ready, okay? Because Yahweh's revealing everything in these last days, House of Yahweh. And he's revealing it to you because he loves you. He loves you and he loves the work you're doing. And you're all doing a great, great job. Keep it up. Don't stop. Let's bring this rebellious system down in ourselves first. Okay, so with that, if you'd all please stand. It's been a great pleasure speaking to you. And I'd like to turn it over now. It's my great privilege to turn it over to the great Kohan Yehuda Hawkins.
I didn't have any branches to wave, and I thought, well, we'll just wave something by the branch. If you will, please be seated. I got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time. Please turn to page 6 in the book of Yahweh. Or is it 5? 5. Wherever Genesis chapter 6, verses 7 through 8 is, please go there. We're going to have to move pretty quick because some of this I have written, some of this I'm going to have to get this clouded memory to work right. Genesis 6, verses 7 and 8. So Yahweh said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and bird of the air, for I am regretting what they, man, have become. But Noah found regard and honor in the eyes of Yahweh. Genesis 6, verse 8, letting Scripture interpret Scripture, shows the person Yahweh is talking to in Genesis 6, verse 7 is Noah. The word said that is written in Genesis 6, verse 7 is translated from the Hebrew word yamar. This word is listed on page 115 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means speak to the children of Israel and say to them what follows. Just want you to look at the lexicon. So you see there, it says, speak to the children of Israel and say to them what follows. Introduces what is to be said. The word man, next one. The word man that is written in Genesis 6, 7 is translated from the Hebrew word Adam. This word is listed on page 8 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson. It shows this word means man, but it is in first person and in a masculine singular, which means it serves as the subject of a sentence or a clause. The word for that is written in Genesis 6, verse 7, is translated from the Hebrew conjunction wall. This word is listed on page 378 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means and. The word but that is written in Genesis 6 verse 8 is translated from the Hebrew word conjunction wa also. And this word is listed on page 233 of the Analytical Hebrew Encounter Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word in this case means for. Oh, there you got it. As you can see, looking over these screens. I'm moving really fast because I have a lot to say, I'm afraid. What Genesis 6 verses 7 and 8 is saying to you, and I have given this to you before, is this. So Yahweh said to Noah, speak to the children of my people and say to them, man, whom I have created, will destroy himself, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air from the face of the earth, and I am regretting what they, man, have become. Remember this scripture, Romans 3:10. It says, there are none righteous, no, not one. You heard the priest that spoke before me, the great Kohan Benjamin, say, you know, talking about the world is bonded to sin. Now, this is from Romans 3:10, also Psalm 14, Psalm 53, and some of the others. Also Isaiah 53, chapter-wise. They are all linked by the Atbash Code, and they refer to this and to what the Kohan was telling you just before. The Atbash Codes confirm it. But the point of the matter is, there are none righteous, no, not one. Yahweh said, all they want to do is commit evil, and he regrets that they were created in the sense that they wanted to go in sin and not serve him. So Yahweh said to Noah, speak to the children of my people and say to them, man whom I have created will destroy himself. Yahweh is not going to destroy them. If you watch what's going on out in the world today, man's doing a fine job of that himself. Why should Yahweh even bother? The whole point of the matter is, they will destroy everything. And if those nuclear weapons are used, this whole earth will be reduced to a burned out cinder unless Yahweh intervenes. And he said he will, to get things straightened out. Now, I have finished my scripture for the day. Now I get to talk to you about something else, and I pray that Yahweh allows me both the time and my memory to get it correct. And may Yahweh bless us all in this. Today is approximately the 35th anniversary of the first time we started serious work on correct translations of all the scriptures in the Holy Scriptures without using a simple Strong's or Clark's commentary. 35 years ago, approximately today, Pastor and I were in what is now the press room. At that time, it was still the main sanctuary as well. And he was saying, this was around 1881, I'm not that old. I may look it, but don't rub it in. That really was a blurb. Anyway, in 1981, 1982, approximately, we were in what is now the press room, the old sanctuary, and I was looking through things. I had given a sermon saying we had to have another translation. At that time, I owned a King James Bible that in the back showed the Hebrew names of all the books of the Book of Yahweh, in before what is called the New Testament. And Pastor said, yes, we do. And he started the ball rolling. He pointed out, there are so many things Strong's doesn't cover. Is there any way to find out what these words mean? And I said, yes. And he said, why? And I said, well, I had study in Greek. If I can find the Greek books, I can help you there and to some degree. And he said, what about Hebrew? And he said, I've never done a lot with the Hebrew, except that I knew the name is Yahweh for a long time. I learned the name way back in the 1970s. And I had a problem even then as to why it was not being used by Christian, Jew, or Islamic. They all know the name if their scholar or their educated people or their teachers do anyway. The point I'm trying to make is we started that work to do the Book of Yahweh, approximately 1981, 1982, and the first printing came out about 1987. It took about five and a half years to finish the job. But the point of the matter, that day, Pastor said, is there any place we can find books to show what these words are supposed to be translated? And I said, the only place is one of the three colleges in Abilene. Their libraries, many of them have a lot of old books. And I said the first one was the largest college in Abilene, ACU. They have a huge treasury of old books. Are you allowed to use them, Pastor said. And I said, I suppose you can look at them. And he said, well, is there a copy machine around? I said, oh, they all have copy machines. You're just going to have to pay for it. And everything. So when I went there, he said, you are going there. And I said, I am? I said, yes, you're going there. He said, what languages do you know? And I said, at the time, I said, I've been trained in Latin and Greek and German. Now, before anybody says anything, my German is totally rusted out. But the Greek and the Latin, I had a lot of familiar with. And he said, well, I know the church teaches Latin and Greek. And I said, well, the Hebrew, though, is something I'm probably going to have to learn. Well, he said, can you learn it? And I said, I suppose so, if I can catch the key things about the language. But we started going to the books. And yes, the help I had from all the schooling I had in the other languages was the different thing. The point of the matter is, we started seeing the books. And when we started looking at the books, we found out some of them we could check out and take back to the press room for a while. They found out what we're doing, and all of a sudden the professors had to have those books. But by that time, guess what? People came and gave us those books. Also, I learned that the quirks of the Hebrew language were no different than some of the other languages of that day. So we got it going. Anyway, to finish this thing up, we got to the point where we have every one of those books that college has and 20 to 50 more. We have one Hebrew lexicon. It's four volumes, was written in the 16th century in English. We have several of the ancient Giseniuses and the originals. We have it all. We have things they would give their left arm to have so that this work can be completed. The first time we got a completion was 1987. The first version or printing of this came out. But we started just going to the colleges, and that's where I learned all these things. Of course, anything written in German, I had some help with a koan and also the schooling I had, the Greek and all that. I never thought I'd ever use it. But, praise Yahweh, I found the reason for it. I have to continue this on next time. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I turn the services over to Quan Ilya Hawkins.
Praise God. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, everyone should be well aware of what we're seeing today take place in the news. Pastor brought these things many years in advance. And in all of these things, we need to keep in mind that as we have been taught, we are literally on the sea of glass. And we are now, at this time, being judged for what we do and how we do it and how much work we put into what it is that we've been trained to do. And never forget that the only reason the house of Yahweh was established in these last days was a training place. A training place so we may go up and learn of Yahweh's way from the one that He has sent. Well, of course, the FDA this week coming out in the news condemning homeopathic, as they say, drugs. And the reason they're doing this is because, for one, they don't get money from it. And there's no regulations to it. So they're trying to take the natural remedies, things that are beneficial, and science even shows it's beneficial, but there's no money involved in it for the FDA. So they're actually coming out threatening to regulate and even shut down many things. And listen very carefully how they word it, because they use this one situation where a child went into seizures due to using a certain teething tablet, and of course they blame the teething tablet. Well, there are certain procedures to using natural remedies, and you should always seek advice and seek things that have been proven through many, many years. People recommend things that you can do. And this is over years of trial and error, so to speak, that it's went on. And also porch pirates. There's nothing like Christmas time where people come and steal things off your porch. You know, nothing like going Christmas shopping, stealing everybody else's stuff. But these things that, watch what they say. Now, this is supposed to be a tradition and a holiday of giving and rejoicing. And they're too busy trying to sell you cameras to go on your porch in case the other Christmas keepers come and steal your stuff. Now, there, what peace is there in a holiday where you have to invest in security so you can keep it? It doesn't make sense when people are stealing your stuff. And then in Nigeria now, and I spoke to some people from Nigeria this morning, refugees coming up from Cameroon. Now remember, this is all in that fourth part of the earth. Just like we've been seeing, more refugees, more trouble, more bloodshed. And even in Mosul, they're coming out now. Mosul's in Iraq, if you remember. They're saying that the number of deaths that were reported in Mosul are most likely 10 times higher than what has been stated before. That goes a long way in that third part being killed, that third of man being killed in that fourth part. Because if the numbers are much higher than what's been reported, there's a lot of death taking place. Because we've seen it where a lot of death is taking place. But watch how they just don't know where to go. They just don't know what to do. They need someone to teach them what to do. And they're looking for a better way because this system has failed them. Now, of course, when you look to the Philippines, you see what's taking place. They're calling it a drug war. But they literally now have laws in the Philippines to where if you're suspected of being a drug user, you can be shot on sight. No problem. Just shoot somebody. So now murders are out of control in the Philippines. Now, of course, President Duterte, he spoke against the Vatican and what they were doing with taking money. But keep in mind, either they will break him down or they'll win him over, one or the other. But watch what's taking place and keep in mind this depopulation that's going on also. And then this last week, of course, as Revelations 11:18 says, and the nations were angry. The United Nations were very angry. And the nations involved in the United Nations were very angry with what President Trump and the decision that he had made in recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Be mindful of this. We know what's going to take place. We know there's going to be a two-state solution. We know about the prophecies in Daniel with the agreement. But remember what also Daniel 8:25 said. Through this peace, he will destroy many. Through this peace, he will destroy many, being very crafty and proud in certain things. And if you don't know what the art of the deal is, well, the art of the deal is having people think you're in full control. Tell them you're taking everything and give them what you really didn't want to begin with. But you get everything you wanted. Well, of course, in recognizing this, and we'll go into this a little bit more, I want to show you a news article here. Of course, you have a boss. If you look here on the news article, it says a boss calls on Europe to take lead in Mideast peace talks. Now, this is not odd because it goes on with Abbas. It says that President Mahmoud Abbas has insisted he will no longer accept any U.S. plans for peace in the Middle East because of the Trump administration's recognition of Jerusalem as the capital. Well, that recognition, keep this in mind. In what they said, they're saying all of Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel. All of Jerusalem doesn't belong to Israel right now. The east side belongs to Palestine. Everyone knows that. But they're looking for a part, and that's what they want, is a part. Well, during a visit to Paris, Abbas urged France and wider Europe to play a stronger role in peace efforts, and he said the United States was no longer an honest mediator in the process. During a news conference, Macron, remember that's the president of France, was careful not to take sides, saying the United States' mistake was to unilaterally manage from afar a situation whose solution is in the hands of the Israelis and Palestinians. Well, everyone knows there's someone else with their hand in that pot, so to speak. However, Abbas said, we will not accept any plan from the United States of America because of its bias and violation of international law. We call upon countries that did not recognize Palestine yet to do so to preserve the two-state solution alongside Israel. So what they're saying is, we need you to recognize the east side. Somebody else can have the west side. Watch what they're doing here, because this is all taking place just like pastors said it would. Now, of course, remember who oversees the Temple Mount. Remember who's the caretakers of the Temple Mount. Pope, Jordan's King Abdullah discuss Trump's Jerusalem move. Remember, Jordan is in control of those things. They're the caretaker of the Temple Mount and other sites there in the city. Now, that article goes on to say that Pope Francis and Jordan's King Abdullah on Tuesday discussed U.S. President Donald Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, a move that both sides say is dangerous to Middle East peace plan. Abdullah and the Pope spoke privately for about 20 minutes. Remember what Pastor said. They don't do these things across phone lines. They don't do it in front of people. It's all done in private. These instructions are given. But they spoke privately at the start of the king's visit to the Vatican and also, notice, France. And make sure you see that, because that's very important, because that's exactly, remember, look at that, the king's visit to Vatican and France, because Abbas has been calling on France to get more involved in this. He wants to see France. Don't forget, we showed a couple weeks ago, who was the first person Mahmoud Abbas called whenever Trump gave his announcement about Jerusalem being the capital? It was Pope Francis. That's who he called. There's someone that's in control. Who controls the UN? The Vatican. They run the UN. They run NATO too. That's the Pope's army. But don't forget who's in control. And you see a conflict here. Well, it says a Vatican statement said that they discussed the promotion of peace and stability in the Mideast with particular reference to the question of Jerusalem and the role of the Hashemite sovereign as custody, that's Jordan, that's the caretakers, of the holy places. Because, once again, they're in control. Now, it also says, among the outpouring of international criticism, Jordan also rejected the U.S. decision, calling it legally null because it consolidated Israel's occupation of the eastern sector of the city. So it's saying that they gave them the east side and they're not entitled to it. Both the Vatican and Jordan backed a two-state solution to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. So notice that no one's saying we're not doing this two-state solution anymore. Now everyone's crying, we have to do something. President Trump gave a stir to action speech, and there's a lot of action taking place. Palestine wants East Jerusalem as the capital of their future independent state, whereas Israel has declared the whole city to be its united and eternal capital. Now, of course, that's not going to take place. We know there's going to be a line dividing it, a wall, a temple wall that's going to divide these things. Now, keep this in mind, because while that's going on, we also have, of course, as you see here, NATO tripled military presence on Russia's border in just 5 years. Now, that's because they're building up. Well, we want to take a look at why they're doing that. And if you notice, it says, Marine leaders highlight Norway unit's role as a deterrent to Russia. So they're trying to say they're just doing it to get Russia to back down. Now listen to their explanation of this. It says, the stated goals of the Marine Corps' newest rotational forces in Norway are to enhance partnerships with European allies and to improve the serviceability to fight in cold weather. Like Alaska's not cold enough or somewhere in the United States to go to. That's the reasoning behind it. Now it goes on to say that the Norwegian Home Guard base near Trondheim that houses the Marine Rotational Forces was his first stop, General Robert Neeler's annual Christmas tour. So here's the general of the Marine Corps. He's taking a tour and he's made a stop there. And this is what he has to say. He says, Neeler emphasized to the Marines that they should remain ready to fight at all times, predicting and he uses his own terms, we'll just say a huge fight on the horizon. I hope I'm wrong, but there's a war coming, Neeler said. You're in a fight here, an informational fight, a political fight. By your presence, there's a fight. Just remember why you're here, he said. They're watching, just like you're watching them, they're watching you. We've got 300 Marines up here, but we could go from 300 to 3,000 overnight. We could raise the bar. So look at the time that this could take place, because while this is going on with NATO and Russia, you also have all of these things taking place with this negotiation, and that's what it is right now with Palestine and Israel, but it's caused people to come and negotiate. Well, remember, the nations are weakened because they don't have the law, And never forget Hebrews 12:15, where Yahshua said, if you will search diligently, speaking of the laws of Yahweh, or the one sent, if you will seek diligently, no root of bitterness will come upon you. It won't grow in you. But that's only if you seek diligently. Well, the nations don't seek Yahweh, and this bitterness between all of them is soon to cause a huge war. And we're going to see more death, more destruction, but it's all due to the rejection of searching diligently the one sent who could bring peace to all nations. At this time, if we could please play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Oh, wow. Man, this is looking great. Go on, go on. You may be seated. May the peace of God. Yes, that's my words exactly. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The wars are breaking out. Yahweh is showing His house exactly what we'll be doing, what we have done. Do you see how He's keeping track of that with the gematria? I hope you understood that. It's really fascinating. It backs up the prophecies and I don't see how there could be any doubt about the house of Yahweh. It's it. This is it. The word is getting out. We got it out about Christmas, before Christmas. If you noticed, if you're on the Twitter list, I guess they call it. I know nothing about computing, but I make suggestions of when I hear about things that we could reach out on, and so we started sending text messages and Twitter messages yesterday, because what is coming up in the prophecy is even more exciting. Yeah, it gets more exciting, it really does. And I was going to tell you that the men didn't want to speak today, so I had to, but I thought, well, they wouldn't believe that anyway. So, but I really need more time to get a few weeks of this in before it starts taking place. This is December. December, the God December. 25th is His birthday. He's quite a God, you know. He's got the whole world worshiping Him on His birthday. Are y'all listening? He's got a day of the week named after Him. So, you know, all the world is using the Roman calendar. That's the most popular calendar in the world. And, of course, He plays on your lust. It looks exciting. That's what was presented to Eve, pig with an apple in its mouth. I don't know whether that sucker is choking or trying to eat that apple. It looks like he's choking, but I know the world is choking and going down. But anyway, We brought out the truth about Christmas, and that article is going really fast. 68,570, and millions on the other news release that we have. The watch for it. I just told Eliyahu to watch. Kohan Eliyahu to watch for it too. The South China Sea, of course, is big time in the news. The East China Sea is going to start coming into the news now, and it's already reaching down into Australia. So watch that and call me if you see some things, because I see some things in the prophecy. And then the China, now they got some false news. I can tell you it's false news. It can't be about China going to join the Middle East Quartet. Now, they could join, but there won't be a fifth member of that group. That quartet is shown in prophecy. If I can get the full scope of this theater, you know, in your mind, where you can see what's taking place and what's going to take place next. But your rewards, of course, is going to start right after that. It could start before, but I'm thinking it won't. But right after the nuclear war that killed so many people. And then, of course, you're going to need this authority that Yahweh says he's going to give to us in Genesis 1:26. And with that, you will receive your subconscious mind, which they all admit, and I brought this out in the Mark of the Beast, too, I do believe, that these giant computers that the world used to build the nuclear bombs and drive your cars and drive your planes and trains and slow them down at curves, supposedly. Yeah, it makes mistakes. Makes mistakes like man, and proved it this week. But the computers, the giant computers that we have, won't hold 1/10,000th. 1/10,000th as much as your subconscious mind. Now that is one big computer in a tiny, tiny skull. And everyone has it. Even if you're deformed, you still have a subconscious mind that you can draw on. We asked everyone, I hope you got the message. I was trying to get everyone to bring their books of Yahweh and notepads. And we're really getting close to the end, and I feel compelled to get certain information out that I'm rather slow in getting it out. But we're the last group that Yahweh chose, and he shows it all in prophecy from Genesis to Revelations. The four horns of the golden altar, I'm going to get to that. Every time I think about it, it gets to me. But I am gonna get to it. I'm gonna whip this. But we're the last that's going to be first to achieve this Genesis 1:26 promise of authority. The authority that we're going to receive is shown Satan having it at one time. And of course, this bottomless pit, we got a sermon coming on that one too. The great Kohan David Haverman Hawkins is going to bring very soon. That bottomless pit where the chaining took place, and of course she lost her power. But that's where we're going to pick up, is where she lost her power. And the power, the authority that she had there, where she, Yahweh shows that she brought curses. Well, this is what I've told the elders, you know, one drop of rebellion, it will get this taken away from you. Yahweh is going to know you before you get in the kingdom, and if you got rebellion, then you won't make it. It just won't be allowed in the kingdom. That's what brought this about, caused the tree of life to be taken away, and the world is cut off from the tree of life. Yeshua plainly says they can't bring forth righteousness. It's impossible for them to teach righteousness. That should be obvious. The world, you know, I watching the news, and a preacher came on the other day in search of the Lord's way. And I thought, man, you poor idiot, you know, you don't even have sense enough to know who the Lord is and where the word Lord came from. And you wouldn't believe it if someone told you, or if you opened up Unger's Bible Dictionary and you see the word Lord means rabbi. It has nothing to do with Yahweh. So you're worshiping dead rabbis, and he's hunting the way of dead rabbis. And he's got it right. That's what he's hunting. He doesn't want the ways of Yahweh. It's that obvious, but as Yeshua said, you won't believe the truth. You can't believe the truth. I bring you the truth, and it's the truth you're rejecting. Well, anyway, we're the last that's going to be first to receive this authority to not only raise the dead, but create and maintain flesh. You know, Yahweh proved Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He proved those three. Now, the world, the Christian teachers who can't bring forth righteousness, are teaching that the 12 tribes of Israel kept the laws of Yahweh. They're all liars, as Yahweh said, as Yeshua said, in Yochanan 8:44. She was a liar from the beginning, and they're just following her pattern of telling these lies. Everything in the Holy Scripture shows that the 12 tribes brought back Catholicism from Egypt. They took it over while they were there, and they took all these pagan holidays and the worship of dead pharaohs, and then they started turning their own rabbis into gods, deifying them, and their gods became more than the cities in Israel. And all of that's in your scripture. Acts, the 7th chapter, also shows this, that you rejected Moshe. Well, there's a lot more money, of course, and war and Christmas and the pagan holidays than there is in the work of Yahweh. So that right there is what turned the world against Yahweh. The love of money is a root of all evil. Well, our job, of course, is to teach the inspired scriptures. In those scriptures, Yahweh says is life. And in those scriptures, it speaks of me, Yeshua said. So did all the prophets say the same thing. If you look over to Yochanan 8, or 9, Yochanan 9, Yeshua himself, now this is the Savior. He came, he's teaching the truth. It's the truth that they hate. It's a message that is actually revealed in the Holy Scriptures. The one that says you belong to Satan unless you turn from making your own decisions, doing what is right in your own eyes. That's Deuteronomy. You should know where that is. Deuteronomy 12:5. Unless you turn from your way and follow the every word, Matthew 4:4, by the every word of Yahweh. Yahweh says he guides, he shepherds those writings. He brought them down to us. I told David, I was talking to David about this translation we hold before us here now. We when we set up the press room on TNP Lane, inside one wing of the sanctuary there, we had our own dark room, which I took care of. Then I would turn the plates over to David, and he would go through them. It wouldn't all burn in, so we had to recorrect letters and put them in to take pictures. It was quite a process at that time, printing, but we got it done. But we would work there early of a morning till around 5 o'clock, and then we would go to ACU and dig into their books. And I thought that started about 1984, but David said, no, he remembered it was 1982 when we actually started doing this. And then 1987, we finally felt safe in getting a Book of Yahweh out to the public, which we've improved on, still improving on it, because, yes, praise Yahweh. But so many things in the Holy Scriptures we were seeing before we went there, no one would answer our questions, so we found books that did answer our questions that we'd been searching for years and years. But one of them was, of course, that Yahweh destroyed the earth. I said, this is plain to see that it wasn't Yahweh. He was warning them that they were going to be cursed from the earth if they did these sins. The earth was going to curse them. It's like taking a hoe and cutting down your corn stalk because you're mad at the corn stalk, but still you want it to produce corn for you. And this is what they've done to the earth. They've defiled it. I've got to bring a sermon. I've got to bring several lessons on the earth itself and how it's formed and how it works for man. Science knows nothing about it. I can tell you. They can't tell you. But I can tell you. The whole earth is alive. Your iron that you eat in your food, it comes from the center of the earth. Your earth is at work under your feet, and it's actually moving similar to the human body. And it takes dead matter that we think is dead because the rust eats up a piece of iron. No, just because it got so tiny you couldn't see it, there's no sign that it's gone. And that piece of iron, if you can imagine this, over periods of years, it goes down to the center of the earth where it's turned back to life again and put in the iron family, brought back to the surface of man. Now, this is over a period of years, but this is a continual process. And when we disrupt that process with nuclear bombs, with blood, we can actually curse that process. And when that process can't work, the first time it couldn't work, it brought forth rain, floods, trying to correct the situation, to bring it back where the kingdoms of this earth, inside the earth, the working kingdoms that Yahweh built for man, for mankind, for you to use, brought it back to where the iron could start coming back up again in crops and food. I'll just put it that way to try to make it simple. It is a long process, continuous process, the renewal of the earth and how it does it. If this iron beam right here was laid out on the ground, eventually it would turn to iron that you would be eating in your food that gives you energy and strength. If you study what iron does for your body, well, that's what it was made for. Now, we can use it for other things and that's all lawful. But to ruin it to ruin it as mankind is doing, you know, this becomes detrimental to us and the earth in trying to help us, brings forth a curse for man's sake to try to stop him from doing what he's doing. Now, the earth doesn't have the authority that you're going to be given. This authority that you're going to be given, a stubborn, rebellious attitude, would ruin it. And you could do more harm with this authority that you're going to be given. You'd do exactly what Satan did. Put yourself in her place and look in the mirror and see what Satan is doing. And has done with the four horns of the golden altar. And you'll see yourself in that mirror. And you'll know, try to think, what are you going to do if Yahweh lets you in his kingdom and give you enough power to go ahead and destroy the earth? Well, it won't happen again. You're the one that's going to stop it from happening again. You're the team that's going to see to it that the sons of the original sons of Yahweh will not build anything that hurts. There won't be any more dinosaurs. And you're the one that will see to it that the dinosaurs will not be made again to play with. Don't that look exciting, this Jurassic Park? How they brought it back and showed how evil these beasts were? Well, if you'll look in your newspaper, you'll see the same evil beast getting ready to depopulate the earth, and they're killing men, women, and children. I was going to read you this article here about war and how it brings wealth into the people's pockets. Not a word in that article showing how they love children and only the soldiers are there's going after the soldiers that fight them. These people are being killed. They're slaughtered right now in that fourth part of the earth, and it seems like nobody cares. Well, that's exactly what the scripture said would take place in this time period. In Yochanan 9, in verse 18, Yochanan 9, verse 18, he says, "But the Yadim did not believe." Well, now Yada, if you're familiar with Yada in Genesis 49, remember Yahweh trained and proved Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, now, or Yaakov. Now, those are going to be there. Yeshua himself says you're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov in the kingdom. Yeshua, all judgment is turned over to him right now. And of course, because he is the Son of Man, he's the first one to make it. He won't take over that job until the bombs go off and the world, few men are left. And then that's the time that Yeshua himself will take the full authority that he is qualified for. That's the law-giving scepter that is spoken of in verse 10 in Genesis 49. Well, he says here that, but the Yadim did not believe that he had been born blind. This was one that Yeshua healed. They didn't believe it. In fact, it shows disbelief of the 12 tribes of Israel throughout the Holy Scriptures. Yahweh sent prophet after prophet to warn them. They were warned. They persecuted and killed the prophets. If you look at chapter 5 of Yochanan, chapter 5 and verse 45, chapter 5 and verse 45, he said, Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, that is Moshe, in whom you trust. Well, there's one of the blurs that Dave and I thought we got rid of. I don't know how that got in, but I remember talking to him about this before. But they didn't trust Moshe, but yet that word there is trust. In the very next verse, you see there that for had you believed Moshe. Well, you see how it contradicts itself? Well, of course, it's straightened out now, and in the beginning, you know, we had the same thing. It said Yahweh created the earth. the Pope has been hearing the sermons from the house of Yahweh, that is the Vatican, so they sent him a letter to read saying that God did not create the earth but he just joined a team of other gods that did. Of course, the Pope is a liar, as Satan is a liar who leads him. And when he makes statements, lying statements like this, you know, I am obligated to show him where he went wrong. And I'm telling him now, you know, Yahweh says in Isaiah, if he'd look at other places, I did it myself. I did it by myself. There was no gods with me when I did it. There won't be any gods when my plan is finished. Period. There won't be a God anywhere in the universe when Yahweh's plan is finished. Gods are evil. That's in Genesis 5, Genesis 3, verse 5. And if you go to verse 47 now, but if you do not believe his writings. So here we see the instruction for us, believe the writings. Believe these writings of Moshe, but all the prophets. Matthew 4:4 says it plainly too. Man does not live, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Now look at chapter 8 of Yochanan. Chapter 8, and look at verse 45. Yet because I tell you the truth, you see that right there? Because I tell you the truth. It's the truth they're rejecting. If I would tell you that Santa Claus came down the chimney, you would believe me. This is the world. If I tell you that Rome was formed by two boys that was raised by a she-wolf, you would believe me. This is what the world wants to believe. It's the truth they hate. And this is what Yahshua is showing you there. Because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. It's the truth they hate. Because they don't want to follow righteousness. Righteousness is not seeking your way. Righteousness is asking of the priest, should I do this? As Deuteronomy 12 says, it's asking of the priest and then following his instruction 100%. Don't go from one side to the other. You've got to get this in your life in order to make it into Yahweh's kingdom. That is the truth that the Yadim hate. I know that there's no one here that hates these words of Yahweh. I know you love the words of Yahweh. I know you do. You've been proven. In 2 Kefa in this book here, this was like Kepha. We'll show you that in the gematria. That's a don't work on it now. Don't go to work on it now. We've got this other stuff to work on in gematria right now. But if when we get to the proving the apostles and the prophets, now I've already seen proof in the gematria that before they wrote, you know, this book of Yahweh here was planned. It was every word of it here was planned. And we can prove that. Don't do it now. don't get on it now. You'll be griping at me because I'm laying too much on you again. But I'm telling you in advance, we can prove this. That this, before the apostles, before the prophets ever wrote, these things were numbered, set in line. They were in heaven with Yahweh. They were before Yahweh. Every word of it. And the people that wrote these things were also there, not really, not physically, but they were planned. He knew you before you were born. Now, if you can get this picture in your mind, he knew what you were going to write. He knew who was going to write it. And then he comes by the prophets, inspires them, they write what he already had before him, they were putting it in writing. That's how this book was put together. He shepherded this whole thing. Well, here in Kepha now, with that in mind, 2 Kepha 3, and look at verse 10. He says, "But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise now, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." Elements will melt there with fervent heat. This is the great burning. Now, this prophecy right here of Kepha, you know, this was written before the temple was destroyed, and before the temple was removed and taken to Rome in 70 AY. The bombs that would melt these elements with fervent heat was not invented, not even started, till 1934. At which time we got the knowledge increase that started in 1934, and the witness born in 1934, then trained from the womb to be telling you this today. And all of that was taking place right in front of Yahweh, on front of his throne, on this so-called sea of glass. He says, "But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." We're very close to that time right now, brethren. We're going to see that. You're going to see it unless you die before it takes place, but it's going to come really, really soon now. And I feel the urgency right now of getting this knowledge out to all the world before those nuclear bombs bring that fervent heat that's going to burn up the sinners, as Malachi showed in chapter 4. Malachi, if you have a King James Version. But the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. He's talking about sin. This is where sin is going to stop. They're going to stop it. And Yahweh had it all planned out to let them reject him and then show them what rejection brings. You, on the other hand, you've got a unique position here. You believe without seeing. So he doesn't have to put you to death with nuclear bombs. You believe without seeing. You believe the scriptures. You believe because the prophecies, I've expounded on these prophecies to you to show you that these prophecies are 100% accurate. The knowledge increase that Daniel said would be here at the time of two witnesses. And he showed that. That generation, that was shown to you. And then the numbering system that Yahweh gives us, that Bullinger wrote a book about, colleges have marveled over this thing. They won't believe it, but they see it. They won't use it because it works against them. It calls them 666. The reason for that is Revelation said in chapter 13, the very last verse of chapter 13, he said, this number is the number of man. Rebellious man. 666, and that 666 is going to be destroyed with burning. And this is what Kepha is talking about here right now. The works of this 666, as we're showing, I don't want to miss any of it. I want you to see everything that 666 stands for, because you can't be a part of it. Of course, you can go to the Holy Scriptures and say, I want to be a part of righteousness. It's not 666. It's 613. 613, yeah. You can't get 666 out of 613. But you can out of 612. We'll be burned up. Be burned up. And we see this in verse 10. And then we see he adds to that in verse 11 and says it'll be dissolved. It's going to be dissolved. That also is shown in Isaiah, where he uses the word that they translated consumed. They'll be consumed. So, he tells you then in the last word there, be righteous. Follow righteousness. It's not 666. The prophecy for knowledge and the prophecy for the bombs, that's easy to get led astray on. You have to watch it really, really close. And it's easy to get led astray at this time of the year on almost everything, because they have these subliminal suggestions. If you watch the news, you can try to keep your mind guarded against it, but it's going there. The only thing that's going to outweigh that is your loyalty for Yahweh. Otherwise, you're going to be wanting to go shopping, go buy a present. We had people coming here wanting to bring Christmas presents on the ground. And they probably would have if they hadn't known about that truckload of guns that we were. Remember, the neighbor said they saw us hide a truckload of guns? Well, they kind of fear, I guess, because of that. They don't fear Yahweh. They don't even know him. But anyway, these things take place. And they said, well, it's food. And I said, well, food. Why are you bringing it here now? Well, the people need it. They're hungry. I said, nobody goes hungry in this place. You know? In fact, I think everybody's a little overfed and being underfed. Well, he says, this is all shown in those two verses there now, righteousness plus dissolvement of the wicked and the works of wickedness, the rebellion. If you look at chapter 2 there and look at verse 18, 2 and verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of worthlessness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through the wantonness. Now that's what's going on now, and it's stronger at Christmas time than any other time. The ones who have barely escaped from those who live in error. It brings them back in. And Yahshua said, without that foundation, you know, he said 3 out of 4 is going to fall away. And without they have no foundation. Well, the foundation that the apostles and the apostles laid in Jerusalem, that foundation is called Book 2 of the Book of Yahweh. And if you get there, if you get this thoroughly in your mind, you'll see how the apostles stood strong and were actually willing to give their lives. Kepha even said, I don't feel worthy to be hung up right side up on the stake. Put me upside down. Well, that is strength. Verse 19, while they promise you liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Corruption? This corruption that's bringing about this great burning that Kepha just spoke of in chapter 3. For by whom anyone is overcome, to him he is enslaved. Now, at verse 20. Now, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Yahweh, you see how you escaped that? Now, keep in mind all the other scriptures when you read those verses there, because you can't just get this on your own. Yahweh says, go to my house where I choose to place my name. Now, that narrows it down some. You know, most people mention the name and they start suffering persecution and they get rid of the name. But where you got to go to the place, ask, and it will be given to you. Don't follow after your own. Don't do whatever is pleasing in your own sight. All those scriptures would go with this one before you could understand what he's talking about. You got to have them here a little, there a little, all put together. And the Savior, Yahshua, Messiah, they are again entangled after through this knowledge of Yahweh and of the Savior, Yahshua, Messiah, they are again entangled in them, tangled up in Christmas, Santa Claus, or if you want to wipe that out and say, oh, no, I didn't have that in mind. I just wanted to bring somebody here some food or give them some money. Give them some money? Why would you want to give somebody here money? Yahweh tells you, put your tithe and offerings in my house. Let his house give the money. You won't get credit from it, but you will in the end. Yahweh will give you credit in the end. But you won't get any glory or honor that way. If you get glory or honor, you've already got your reward, right? So what further reward is there? But nobody needs anything in the house that they don't get. They're taken care of fully. Because how now? We work together as a team at the house. As a team at the house. We take care of everybody in the house. We work to do so. We have departments set up. This is just like the earth is working right now for you. Well, that's the way the kingdom of Yahweh is going to work, and it's going to work throughout the whole universe, bringing exactly this way now, bringing this way to the universe, where there won't be any wars ever again, because this is bringing wars. But he's overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the ways of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy laws delivered unto them. It's like a dog returning to his own vomit, he said. Well, of course, this is a combination. He starts off here telling you about the way the world and its works are going to end, And then he tells you how these people get lured away by, he didn't say pagan holidays. You'd have to get that from the prophets. Don't learn the way of the heathen. Don't learn this. That's the way of the heathen. Don't learn that. Come and learn what Yahweh tells you to do. Don't go aside from it. You go aside from it, and Yahweh knows he can't trust you. Keep every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Yahshua taught the truth, righteousness. He worked miracles. I saw in the scriptures where everybody turned against him in Yochanan 6, and I told Yahweh, I said, I'd rather not have miraculous healings. And I would rather have people, it's my desire, that you train the people to come to you that actually wants to be a part of the kingdom and will believe without seeing. Here in Yochanan 6 and verse 67, if I can find it here, 667, he said, then Yahshua said to the 12, will you also leave me? You think of the thousands here that Yahshua, that followed Yahshua. And I know you think it's strange because people leave the house. Well, of course, Yahweh tells us this is going to take place. And he said, only a few. Remember Matthew 7, 13 and 14. He said, straight is this way, the narrow is the gate that's going to the kingdom. And only a few are going to be able to do it. Well, that few, brethren, is sitting here in this room right now. That's you. But he turned to his disciples in showing you how powerful this is. How much power that Satan has to bring people and pull them away with this trickery and deception. And they get to thinking, well, I'm not breaking any law. And they don't know how many laws they've already broken in what they've done already. Because they don't have a teacher anymore. They don't have a head. They want to be their own head. And of course, this, throw it away. Throw away what they've learned already. And Yahweh tells you that he becomes worse off than ever after that. Yeshua was so impressed here that, and trying to express his disciples, he is trying to warn them. And he did. And this stands for you too. Now, it's kind of hard to believe when your mind is filled with lust, and we let it get filled with lust, with things and people. But the overall view is what we just covered there with Second Kefa. Let's go to 2 Kefa there again. 2 Kefa again. 2 Kefa 2. And read this before we go the other way. In 2 Kefa 2 and verse 4. He says, Now if Yahweh spared not the Malachim, this was the original sons of Yahweh, if you remember the sermon, shown in Eob. This was the original sermon, the original sons of Yahweh that he's speaking of here. And if Yahweh did not spare these original sons who sinned, but will cast them into the abyss, And I won't elaborate any more on that. It's already scheduled to be covered. Delivering them into chains of darkness. You'll find out what that is. Darkness to be reserved for judgment. And that's going to be you judging these. All judgment is already given to the sons of men or the Son of Man. That is the promise from the beginning. So what's going to take place with these original sons right here? You're going to decide. Be tough. Don't bend. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. Now that's what each one of you should be doing. The children here are teachers. Everyone hearing me out there needs to become a teacher of this righteousness. You need to be teaching it. You teach something every minute of the day. You either teach righteousness or rebellion. Look back to Genesis 1:1. I think David might have covered this morning, Yehuda. But Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. Yahweh. Now, of course, the Catholic Church, of course, is trying to belittle that and make out like that the gods created the heavens and the earth. And that's what the Pope is preaching right now, and got it out in letter form and on Twitter and every place where they can get the word out, that the gods created the heavens and the earth. That's not scriptural. You can't find it. In fact, you find just the opposite. But in the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. Then the earth became without form and empty and darkness. That word darkness means the same thing that we're seeing right now out of the sons of man. They rejected Yahweh, so Yahweh turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient, not pleasing, not beneficial, not acceptable. And they're the ones that's brought this burning about that we're fixing to experience. It was prophesied not for this time period, not quickly, but 6,000 years down the line. Figure it up from 4004 to right now. And you'll see it where we're at that point. Brought about, preached by two witnesses, and that's shown throughout the Holy Scriptures, even in Genesis. Now, he cursed. The next one is that the next lie they tell is that Yahweh cursed the earth. He turned it over to mankind. Mankind got really filthy, really ornery. And of course, look at chapter 4, and they say, well, Yahweh cursed the earth. He caused a flood and murdered all those people. No, Yahweh was warning them that this was what they were going to bring. They were bringing curses to the earth. The earth was trying its best to take care of mankind. This micro kingdom that the earth is made out of, it was following the law of Yahweh to take care of mankind. So here now in chapter 4, they don't pay any attention to this, but look at verse 11. So now you are cursed from the earth. No one believes that. They believe that Yahweh cursed the earth and cursed mankind, and regretted that he had made mankind. That's the way these scriptures were before 1982, when Yehuda and I started working to correct this thing and bring forth the book of Yahweh again. Yahweh tells about it in Numbers before we ever did it. Already had the numbers lined out. He had it not lined out what Satan would do and all the people that carry the 666. That 666 number is something that's a badge you really don't want. It starts with lust and then goes to rebellion and so forth. But believe this. Believe what he says right here. You're cursed from the earth. Yahweh doesn't curse you. He tells you to take care of the earth. Guard and keep it, he said. And he set it in motion to take care of you. I just told you about the arm being in the center of the earth. But that's not the only thing. The earth is such a beautiful thing, the way Yahweh made it. And you really need to know about it. And we'll get to it and what the scripture shows on it. Hopefully soon. Look at chapter 3 and verse 17. And believe this one too. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which that's a tree of evil, like the gods, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you must not eat of it. Well, they're eating of it still today. The Pope is teaching it and teaching it to all the world. They took the name of Yahweh out of the Holy Scriptures. That is how the versions of the book of Yahweh, the King James Version, wouldn't allow it to be printed. So they didn't even know the difference of Yahweh and the gods. We've had a great work ahead of us, brethren, from the time that the work started. And we've done quite a bit. We haven't got it done. The biggest part is yet to come. But you think about what you're reading right now. It didn't just happen. It was brought about by long hours of labor. You're cursed with the ground for your sake. You're cursed. The earth is cursing you for your own sake. It's trying to get you. Don't chop this corn stalk down. It can't produce corn if you chop it down. The earth is hollering at you. It may pick up a handful of dust and hit you in the face with it. Anything to get you to stop sinning. When you sin, you're cursed from the earth because you're harming the earth. And you're joining a team of Satan, the 666 number, that will bring harm to the earth, to the atmosphere, and to those who have to live on the earth. We're so cursed now. I was telling some men where we having trouble with the curses of the earth the other day when I went to Israel the first time in 82. I stayed with a teacher that he and I were close friends before he went to Israel. He taught agriculture, and in fact, I helped him teach it because I had fields can't think of the grass right now. But anyway, he'd bring his students to my place at that time in Cross Plains. Well, he sold out and went to Israel, and so when I went to Israel the first time in 82, I stayed at their place. And while I was doing work there, I went to measure the temple. And he had a dairy. He bought into a moshav, had a dairy there that he ran, that he owned. And I said, I said, "Don, I see you have some sick cows." And, of course, I'd raised with cattle, so I could recognize the diseases when I saw it. I said, "I see you have some sick cattle." And I said, "I'm sure you know it." And he said, "Yeah, I know it." He said, "I have to have a vet out here 3 times a week. 3 times a week. Well, of course, they have a setup for that. They own their own vet. Their own veterinarian takes care of that moshav only. And he's going from one place to another, treating and giving advice and so forth. But and they just turn in the order, McCall's got this or this or this, and then come 3 times a week to take care of those cattle. Well, that's pretty much sickness when you got this. Since that time, the earth has probably multiplied 10 times more in that way of sickness. Nothing back the other way. It hasn't diminished at all. It's gotten worse. And, of course, it's covered the earth now, the curses. You're cursed from the earth. And these curses are plaguing the whole earth right now. Food is in the worst condition that it's ever been since the knowledge was increased. They could have gone the other way and improved the conditions of the earth, but they have chosen to go the way of fast money, and of course this is what's bringing the curses. They're cursing the earth, so they're cursed from the earth. They curse the earth so the earth cannot help them like it's supposed to. Now, before, it brought a flood. But Yahweh commanded them, saying, "You won't clean the earth this way ever again. The next time, it will be far." Well, of course, mankind now, in this globe that has surrounded us, mankind has created within the human kingdom. They have created a situation that they have no answers for. And Yahweh is showing now to heaven and earth what this is going to bring. When they have the power, when authority is given unto them, or they have the knowledge to build greater bombs. You know, it started off with clubs and rocks and so forth. But as they grew in hatred for one another, they created stronger weapons. Now, Yahweh held that back because he actually wanted all of these curses to be shown. The curses that we are bringing to the earth, He wants them to be shown and show the results that mankind, well, no beings can. They can't live, you know, without blessings. They've got to have blessings to renew their body. The earth has to be blessed in order to renew itself. We're cursing the earth, so mankind now is cursing himself. Yahweh is telling him, we're telling him, unless you repent, you're going to bring nuclear war. You have the bombs that was prophesied. Why won't you believe that the use of those bombs will also, that is prophesied, will also come to pass? You're pretty much of a fool if you don't believe that. You see, the bombs are here, prophesied thousands of years ago. Well, you've created within this dome now that you can't get out of. It's impossible to live in anymore. The wars are raging. You have no way of solving the problems. You have put yourself in the mess that Yahweh said is going to come upon you like a thief in the night. That's what he inspired the Apostle Kepha to say. coming from the 666. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll turn it back to the next speaker. I love you!